everybody.
Hey, Lala.
And yes, welcome to another episode of Love Do He. Yes, very excited. We're actually filming this episode very late, and we're doing it remote because we're in a global pandemic. But we have a treat for you guys. We have the biggest treat of all. The biggest Springfield piece of candy I've ever seen. The gem of the gems. And I'm not talking about Anne. I'm talking about Imani.
Hey, Trisha!
Yes, round of applause for Imani. Before we, you know, jump into everything about her, we do have a few little
updates. We should have blocked her camera and then revealed it.
One more thing before we go to the next announcement and let Imani do her introduction. Imani is our very first female guest on this show.
Okay. Yes.
Ooh. Wow, she really is.
Mm-hmm. That says a lot about us.
It does.
Says a lot about us.
We're some whores. Sorry.
Back to the show.
The reason why we have Imani on this particular episode is because this month is Mental Health Awareness Month, where, you know, around the globe, I don't even know if it's national or if it's global. I'll just say U.S. because we seem to have the most problems. But pretty much we are talking about all things mental health, how to tackle it, the things we see, you know, in society. It's just a big month of awareness, which is really, 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 really great. Some other things that are happening is that obviously we're based in Massachusetts. So Massachusetts has started opening the doors. We let Florida, you know, we let Georgia, we let all these other states do their little thing. And we are starting to slowly open things up. Which I'm so excited to get my nails done, especially because and then of course to recap our last episode with Huber, if you haven't listened, you obviously are missing out. We talked about money, everyone's favorite topic. We talked about a few books that people should read. We know that's a struggle for a lot of y'all, so we're gonna be
literally every episode Lala talks about how people can't read,
and you know it's the truth. Take a listen to that episode just because it's all about finances and how to manage them, especially through the global pandemic. And then the biggest announcement of all, can I get a light drum roll please?
That's my little drum roll.
But Anne and Imani both got their master's degrees.
Woo!
Which is so
exciting. Two degrees.
Yes, the price just went up. We are so happy. I think that both of these women, from, you know, Mariah and I's perspective, they are probably second to us. But we're really proud of all the work that they've put in. We're really proud of all the work that they put in to get this extra
piece of paper.
First of
all, I'm about to click out this call because, girl, you're not going to give me a backhanded compliment. If you're going to compliment us all the way. Don't be a hating ass bitch.
So, like I said, definitely second to us, but very proud of them overall.
No, girl, don't play.
Yes.
Act like you know, honey.
Their bridal price has gone up. They're about to be in a different tax bracket. You know, we're about to not even be able to hang out with them. But I'm going to ask them to fly me out wherever they go.
Yes, fly me out.
No, Lala, with that backhanded compliment, you could stay right the fuck in wherever you at. I'm not going to disclose your location. But Mariah, you know, we down with the get down. We always out here.
Mariah literally just texted me. She doesn't care about you.
Lala, you're not supposed to tell people when I text you.
Excuse me?
I didn't text her.
You're watching her, Anna. Are you serious? That degree is really showing out.
No, she could have texted you. Wait, what?
Okay. Or my eye.
So
I don't know. She could have been, you know, like when you're in class, your phone's under the desk. You try not to get called by the teacher. You know?
No, I didn't do that to get this degree.
First of all, we're gonna move the fuck on.
Let's introduce our wonderful guest.
Yes, let's introduce her because
we introduce her, but we're gonna let her talk about herself to y'all.
Oh shoot. Okay. So yeah, I'm Imani. I just got my master's in social work.
Dang.
That's what I've been doing for the last 2 years since I graduated from undergrad. I don't know what else to give
you. You're on the road to your
PhD, girlfriend. What do you do for work? Hello.
Okay. So I'm getting my master's. Well, I got my master's degree. I'm going to eventually go for my doctorate degree to be a professor.
Doctor.
Currently work at the
Black professors. That's what we like to see.
Yeah. I currently work at the local crisis office. You know, I'm a clinician now, so that's different.
What do you do for like your day-to-day stuff? Like, how do you help the community in your, you know, your field?
Well, right now I'm going to the hospitals to see if people are okay. You know, a lot of people have been struggling with this isolation due to the COVID, and, you know, suicide is going up. People are lonely. People are just having a hard time dealing, and it's been like a couple of months, so it's a long time with people not having their normal stuff, and they're just like not holding on.
Who would have thought a pandemic, right? Who would have thought
a global motherfucking pandemic?
And you guys now, audience out there, you can see the connection. You see why we brought her on here today. You see the work she's doing. It connects with what we about to talk about. All right.
Which brings us into the hot topic. Our hot topic today is mental health, which is honestly one of our heavier episodes besides the drink the Kool-Aid one. That was I. But I think this one is a good one to get into since it's relevant and the global pandemic hit just in time for Imani's arrival. So let's get into breaking some of this down. Let's get in the kitchen and start cooking with everything mental health. So, you know, starting off with just some basic stuff, what are some of the major mental health issues a person can face, especially during their 20s, like our age group? There's a lot of things, but what do you think are like a few of the main ones?
I think a few of the main ones is just learning how to transition into like having more independence, because you're kind of in adulthood, like if you went away to college or now that you're done with high school or whatever the case may be. But in your 20s, it's really like, oh, I'm going to have to start doing this by myself. I'm going to have to get health insurance, things like that. Like, people don't think about certain things like that. So just being able to transition into these certain periods of life, I think, is a big one that causes a lot of, like, depression, anxiety, you know, just, like, constant worry or sadness about what's next or what the future may hold.
Yeah.
And I feel like especially like transitioning back, like you said, from school back home, I don't care what nobody says, that is traumatic, okay? Very traumatic. I was living my best life, and then I got locked down.
Yeah, that was the most, like, depressing transition. I cried.
Hitting you out once is bad.
The realization that, like,
damn, I'm back at home. Like,
yeah,
I gotta listen to my parents again. Like, what? No, you're not about to say no. We're not doing that. Okay, I was gone for 4 years, honey. Don't do it. Don't.
You like snap back into high school. Like, however you were in high school and the rules in high school, I feel like it's like a snap back when you're at home. Like telling them where you're going and blah blah blah.
Oh well, yeah.
Like I think when you get older, you kind of have to form that dialogue with your parents and stuff like that. And it helps build like a healthier bond, and it helps you to like go on that journey to find yourself, because at school, you're able to like basically run wild. You're not under your parents' supervision, and it's like you're kind of under it. So you're learning more about yourself. You're learning how to tolerate. You're learning how to like be an adult and have those adult conversations. I know that was like hard for me, you know, to have, you know, you still have to have them, but I think it's like a good thing in a way, but.
Being at your job, do you think that, or do you get a lot more interactions with people our age, or like what age group do you see mostly affected by like certain like mental health issues? Everybody getting collected.
It does not discriminate in terms of who mental gets health,
it doesn't discriminate age, color, race, religion. It doesn't. Like my job, we service over like not all of Western Mass, but a good portion of Western Mass. So it's like a lot of people. So we get to see a lot of like different aspects.
Yeah, I think
a wide variety of people.
Really, really scary. What would you say is the hardest age group to work with?
Like an unbiased opinion, I would probably say like the older population, like geriatric and stuff, just because there's not a lot of facilities like that or people able to, that are able, like equipped to handle that capacity of someone, you know, sometimes they have a lot of medical issues or just, there's just, they're hard to reach. My personal opinion, I would say kids, because
them kids, that's why.
Just wow,
and this is not the time.
Whoa,
for that.
What?
Not the time for that.
I just feel
Imani
like...
was thinking it though.
It's more so the parents, like the kids.
Just kidding.
They're all right. It's the parents. A lot of people are stuck in their ways, or you can't tell someone how to parent their child, or you don't have kids, so how do you know?
Do you Do you see the most success there, like in terms of turnaround from some of the mental health issues? Do you see more success in kids than you do adults?
Yeah, definitely, because kids are more resilient. Like they're still in that innocence phase where they're able to be like retaught and is able to stick easily. Like
where
get it right when it's happening, they'll pretty much be okay. And they have a lot of new services in place that, like, start from as soon as a baby is born to, like, combat some of the stuff that they may endure. But they definitely have the best turnaround rate. But
yeah, I think adults are, like, stuck in... It's, like, generation upon generation of thinking and, you know, I feel like they're just, like, stuck in their ways. But
yeah.
I was going to say that, like, old people... Like, they've been living their life the way they've been living their life all this time. And then it's kind of like, too, like, who is this young lady coming in here to tell me about myself? So I think that's the other problem on top of it. Besides their own, like, issues that they're having, I think it's, like, also, like, an age thing.
Young Black lady at that, like...
Yes, which brings us into demographics, because I think we'll start with just like the two big ones, but you know, difference between, or what do you see the biggest mental health issues, or let me rephrase this, do you think there's certain mental health issues that differ between men and women? And I know that varies with, you know, like all of the different identities that are of today, including transgender, but thinking about just men and women, or those that identify as men and those that identify as women?
I mean, I think definitely it, you know, is different. Even like men and women, like a girl and a boy, even when they're younger, it's that different too. Like for certain mental illnesses, it's more predominant in girls, and then others it's boys. Like they all just different. Like depression, like a girl's gonna be diagnosed with depression before a boy, just because who wants to be, like a boy's not gonna be sad,
admit it. Yeah,
like a boy who's running up and down, he has ADHD, he's gonna be diagnosed before a girl who's just sitting there who actually has ADHD, but no one knows because she's not causing any trouble. So it goes like that. I think it goes for like race or ethnicity. Some people just don't like mental health. They don't know about it. People are like, I don't need therapy, or, you know.
Especially our people. We don't need it. We don't need and we don't need therapy.
Which everyone needs therapy. You don't need therapy for the rest of your life, but there's a lot of points in your life that probably you would have went through a little smoother if you were in therapy.
Just like college in general. I wish I actually took advantage of the therapist on campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish I took advantage, because I definitely needed that during college. But I was always so scared.
I felt like I felt it more after college.
Yes.
Especially like that post-grad. It was like, boom. Mm-hmm.
So having like a counseling center at college is like beneficial, but for it to really work, you have to really have like a therapist and you have a good relationship with that you can relate to on a level. Like if you just meeting with Tom, mm-hmm. Tom know about me or my struggles or anything like that. Like, you're mm-hmm. not, it's not going to do you any good, mm-hmm. but it's like trial and error.
And who are most of your, I mean, we're in a more of a progressive time period. So obviously, like, there's more conversation with men talking about mental health and things like that. I feel like the Black community is getting there a little bit, but what do you think, like, since you're actually in the field, do you still feel like there's a large gap between men and women of color that come in to address mental health issues versus
other ethnicities?
Right.
Yes, definitely. Some people they're just not with it, or they don't have the money, or they just don't have the capacity to even have that conversation. But I do see a lot of people who are legally forced to get, you know, mental health treatment, or they're homeless, so naturally they, you know, encounter some sort of mental health treatment. Sad to say, but that's a big population that you see, a variety of people, but everyone comes in. It's like, I think we see a good amount of people, but in general, if you're just talking about like just for therapy, I think there's a lack of people of color going to therapy. But what I do is not necessarily therapy. It's like a short term, like, okay, you want to hurt yourself, you want to die. Like
let's see what rehabilitation.
Let's point you in the right direction to get you there. Like we may say, like, you need therapy, let me set you up with a therapist or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that makes sense. I mean, I feel like we always have this conversation within the Black community of like, why are Black people not going to seek, or why are they not talking about mental health, especially when there's lots of us. I feel like we at least know one person that suffers from some type of mental illness, whether it's a mild or severe case. And I think it's because of so many stigmas are packed onto it with the Black community. Not only just mental health itself has a lot of stigmas, like people are cast to the side when they think you have mental illness, or they want to isolate you, like, oh, what's wrong with this person? I don't want them near me. And then add Black on top of that inside the United States, it's like, boom, boom, pow, lock me up.
And the socioeconomic factor as well, because like she did bring up, I've never thought of that one, but that the fact that it's expensive, like who gets this type of treatment, like who has access to this? And I don't know if every, you know.
Either like spectrum, like either end of the spectrum, yeah, like whether if you don't make enough and you qualify for mass health, there's only a certain amount of services that you can acquire on mass health. Mm-hmm. And like, if you want like a good therapist or a therapist that may not quit in the next 2 weeks, you don't want to go to a clinic. Not all private therapists take mass health. If you make too much money, you have private insurance, there may be some services that you want, but they're only open to people who have mass health.
Just for everyone who's listening out there, sorry, Money, not to cut you off, but MassHealth is free health insurance that's provided by the Massachusetts state government, just for people who aren't from Mass.
I think some states have their own.
For low-income families.
Yeah. I learned that today. Medicaid is state insurance, and Medicare is federal insurance. So, like, every state has their own Medicaid. So, if you're in Mass, it's Mass Health. If you're in Connecticut, it's Husky. I don't know anybody else, but that's it.
I think New York has one, too. I just don't remember the name.
Every state has to have one.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Also, every, if you have health insurance and say, like, they'll pay $100,000, I'm exaggerating, for this procedure for your arm to get fixed. If your mental health costs, essentially, if they cost the same, your insurance has to pay for it. They have to, like, match whatever they were going to pay for a physical ailment.
Okay. Dropping the knowledge. Y'all better pick it up.
The more you know. The more you know. So thinking about, like, triggers, for example, since, like, we always joke about, I'm triggered, and especially myself, like, I'm always saying I'm triggered. I tell my six-year-old brother to say he's triggered, so now he's triggered. What are, like, how do we, what's the best way to handle triggers in ourselves? And then we can think about what, how to handle triggers that we see in someone else. But how do we know when we're triggered?
I've been doing a lot of work with this.
You okay?
What's going on over there?
Is that a supernatural visitor?
The way she snapped, like,
like, are you okay? Oh, see, now my light is bright. Good.
Okay, so y'all know how my like lock, you gotta press the buttons.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Someone was keying in, and my mom's in her room. I was like, about to have to knock somebody out.
Wow. Okay.
Girl, yes. I would have literally just been sitting here like, wait, what's going on?
I'm sure
now I got to race to your house. I'm confused.
That
Snapple, and I can't
bottle,
even get in because I don't know the code.
That Snapple bottle would have took them out, I'm sure.
What was he talking about? Sorry.
We're talking about
triggers. I mean, you were just triggered in that moment. Are you okay? Is your mental health okay right now, Imani?
So, like, I've been doing a lot of work with this on my own because everybody has triggers. Sometimes you don't even know what they are. You just find yourself react, like, overreacting for no reason, and you have no idea why. So, like,
yes.
So, if you are triggered by something that someone did or said, like, obviously address that, like, you know, that didn't make me feel good. But, like, you have to really think about, what was it that triggered you? Like, could you think of something that, like, made you feel that way in the past that you may be thinking of? Because it's just something that, you know, it's just in your mind or something. Like, this is a bad explanation, but basically, like, that you just have to think about what made me feel like that. What am I feeling? What made me feel like that? And what, essentially, like, what boundary can I put up so I don't feel like that again? Mm. But, like, a healthy boundary, like,
not blocking people? What?
No. That is literally a subset of you just blocking the problem.
You actually have to talk about it. You know?
Because more than likely, well, not always 100%, but sometimes the other party doesn't even know why you're upset.
And sometimes the other party, it doesn't even necessarily have to be them. Like, something else, like a five-year-old could have done it. It doesn't matter. It was going to trigger you regardless. Mm. Like, you know, just say, like, yo, that triggered me. You don't even have to say why, but I would just don't do that again or don't do that anymore. And then figure out what was internally bothered.
I was going to say, it's kind of different. Like, if a five-year-old says something to you because, you know, five-year-olds, they just blurt whatever comes to mind. They'll tell you all their family's business and don't even be knowing. Like, but if it's an adult, it's a completely different situation. So it's like, how many times do you have to tell somebody something over and over again before you just, like, now I actually have to block you?
If you're overstepping your boundary that you put up and you've made known, then you have every right to just be like, this is not it. But again, you still should say, like, this ain't it. You shouldn't just be like, not say anything.
I feel like sometimes even with like kids, like, I think since we're all just, you know, exposing ourselves, I think with me, I struggle with like being in a crowded space but still feeling really lonely. I don't think I've ever really like sat and like said that that's the problem. I feel like this is the first time I say it publicly. Maybe in my own life I'm like thinking about that. But I notice like more and more I'm like triggered by loneliness, and it's starting to transcend itself in other pieces, even the relationship with my brother. Like if I feel like he's gravitating towards my sister more, like I have this sense of like guilt, like, oh, why doesn't he want to like stay closer to me or like hang out with me? And like he's just being his little JT, you know, he's just being himself.
Pretty girl.
Yeah, he's just being himself. But for me it's like, oh, like I feel, why am I upset by that and feel this like weirdness?
I think that's a common feeling, not necessarily with the sibling thing, but I think the feeling alone in a space. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I didn't know if you were gonna say something, man. You look like like the future is female, we know.
No, I'm just sitting.
But yeah, I think as you become an adult, like you actually start, I don't know, like reflecting on life as opposed to just like living it, which is majority of what we did in college, is just living that shit.
We sure did, like, but man, the reflection time, and like, I don't know, that shit be consuming my mind, yo. Like, I really be sitting and reflecting, like, why did I allow this to happen, or why did I do this? Like, that shit is really draining, and it's actually like sometimes it's a little upsetting because it's like, damn. Why do you keep going through the same cycle again? You know what I mean? Like,
you want to know what?
You always dwell in the past. I dwell in the past. I dwell in the past a lot, most times.
I think that everything boils down to your childhood, your attachment styles, how you were treated as a child, and how your needs were met as a child. Like, if
Imani
someone is withholding something from you, you're naturally going to seek it. So if someone is withholding love from you as a child, you're going to go out and seeking anybody that shows any sign of love towards you. That's what you're constantly going to do. Mm-hmm. So if you find yourself saying, why does this keep happening over and over again? It's something that you're doing that you're allowing to happen over and over again.
And so, how like, much of that is self-esteem? Like, does that kind of funnel into that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But well, self-esteem... Oh, sorry, Mariah.
Go ahead. No, yours is connecting.
I was going to say self-esteem is like the foundation of how you allow people to like treat you, how you receive people's energy and stuff. Like, if I personally don't have like the highest self-esteem, I'm going to do anything I can to like figure out how I can please people so they can like me. You know what I mean? Like, but,
I was going to say, well, connecting to your other point about reflecting, I feel like, especially during this pandemic, people have had a lot of time with themselves.
Yes.
So then it forces you to almost like, who else are you talking to?
Girl, I be talking to myself every day.
Besides,
I make myself
out,
laugh, I cry, I get mad.
Besides reaching out to your friends, like, some people may not be as fortunate to have, you know, some people like this to reach out to. So you're talking to yourself. And then, like, what Lala was talking about, like, I think with myself, what I realized over the last couple of years, like, I, as a child, I was very quiet. Like, very, like, I didn't say anything. Or, like, something would bother me, I didn't say anything. And you guys even notice, like, sometimes I would just be,
And I'd be like, I'd be wanting to shake you up, like, Mariah, beat that
So, I think one of the things that I realized, like, going back to triggers, I know we're playing a tic-tac-toe on the outline right now. Lala's going to strangle me.
We're good.
I think one thing I noticed that triggered me, because I feel like this is our space we want to share, especially for our listeners, if they could connect us, I feel like that would be good. Is that, like, because I was so quiet as a child, I feel like now as I got older, if I took the time to say something important to you, like, especially, like, if it's during an argument or something that's bothering me, and the person ignores it, or, like, they kind of just push it to the side, that makes me like,
yeah, like, it almost feels like you're so quiet again.
For so many years. So then it's like, now that I'm taking the time to speak out, to be loud, to use my voice, and you're still ignoring me.
And let me tell you, Mariah be making sure she's heard.
There's no mistake.
It's like, do you understand me? Because I don't want to say it again.
There's no mistake, I think, now. And I feel like it's growth, right? Like, we're probably a lot better at this than we were coming out of high school. Like, we went through stuff in college that prepared us. Or, like, we went through these situations that, like, have better equipped us to now speak our mind today. We've had people that kind of balance us out. Like, I always say my friends are a good sign of where I was probably weak, because we're in some ways opposite. Like, obviously I have some friends that like where like I think Luz and I, for example, think alike, but I think her personality is completely separate from mine. It's similar to you, Imani, and you, and you guys have very different personalities from me. Mariah, like, we're kind of think the same, but still, like, there are some things that are different. So I think we have all these things that help us grow against, or like grow to help us identify the triggers too, which is good.
Yeah. Also, Mariah was talking about how a lot of people don't have anybody to talk to. I just wanted to say that my job also is like a hotline, so you could just call in. 413-733-6661.
How many sixes was that? Don't call. Don't call. Don't call.
Leave it alone. We already went through it for years. Even if you're not in our area, we could connect you with your area people.
And we'll add that in the description to this episode as well, because, you know, there's some good resources.
You're going to have to text that number, Imani.
We love to see it. We love to see it.
413, gang gang.
We don't love to see
that. Just want to say that.
We don't love to see it. It's 617 to the death of me.
It sure the fuck it isn't. It surely isn't.
But yet, before the quarantine, where was she at always?
I was definitely in the 413, girl. I haven't been to Boston in a Grippington. Don't start.
I said before the quarantine.
Exactly. I was nicely in the 413.
No,
thank you.
No,
you
wasn't, Anne.
Okay, anyways.
Moving on. Thank you.
On the Mass Pike today. And I almost wanted to drive to Boston.
Well, you could have last weekend when we hung out. Right.
But you're not social distancing, Lala, and that is what we need to promote in our episodes.
First of all,
we need to social distance, and we need to stay in our quarantines because we don't want to get each other sick, Lala. Why would you encourage people to go out and spread sickness?
We're not encouraging.
I never said I was a road model.
That's what it sounded like. Moving on.
But okay,
you can't be shutting people down.
Moving forward, as we wrap up on triggers, just thinking about other people, for example, like how can we like have the conversation about maybe triggers we see in other people, but like a sensitive conversation, not like, girl, why are you da 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 da. More like, girl, why are you da 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 da?
Well, I feel like I'm gonna let Imani answer it first. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yes, let our guest.
I think that when something is done to other people, they often have a hard time, like, looking at it from the other point of view. Having that in the back of your mind, like, oh, well, what are they going through that made them lash out like this, or made them act like that, or even what made them cry? Like, it had to be something. And if you genuinely feel as if what you did or said or what happened shouldn't have, like, wasn't, like, that response wasn't warranted, then, you know, obviously you would just be like, okay, well, maybe, you know, it's all them. Like, I think in general in life, we often just feel like it's us, like everything going wrong is us. And sometimes it just doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. We're so self-centered. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing. Whenever anything goes wrong, we're like, damn, what did I do?
Yeah. And nothing.
But, like, what would you do, like, I think what Lala was saying is, like, say you notice, like, you have a friend or something and you feel like they may be suffering from a mental illness, mm-hmm. or, like, you see some type of signs of, like, a behavior that you don't think is healthy. How would you, like, approach it as a friend?
I think that is, like, it's all, like, a case-by-case thing, necessarily, like, it just depends, honestly, like, there's no, like, black and white, this is what you do. It's all different. Like, not everybody's going to be susceptible to that, or, like, that type of, like, relationship or that type of love, or they're just not ready for that conversation. Sometimes mm-hmm. it could just do more harm than good. Mm-hmm. But I would just be honest, like, I think I would be more subtle, like, oh, you okay? Like, you good? You know?
Like, allow them to, as opposed to, like, poaching, allow them to come with whatever it is.
Unless you see them, like, off the walls doing some crazy stuff, yeah. Then there's really no need to be so overbearing or, like, you're prying, because, you know, when they're ready, they're going to need somebody to come to. So you just want to keep that, like, line of communication open, that mm-hmm. you're not going to judge them, or, like, you know, they're just, it's like that you're a safe space, basically.
I like that.
I have a question.
Why are you raising your hand?
So you guys know that I want to talk next, so I don't cut people off, Lala.
Okay, yes.
Hey, girl, 413 gang gang. So, I just have a question. So, you know, you're deep into this field. You're working with people constantly and everything. So, like, when you're around your friends, like us, for examples, like, do you notice things about us, like, in our personality, or, I don't know, do you ever sit and think, like, okay, Mariah's quiet, but blah, 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 or, like, Anne is loud, but she be getting mad too much.
Or like, diagnosing blah, blah, blah. Us.
You know, like, do you ever, you know,
dissect us? Back to the literature.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Like, do you, because I would sit and dissect you guys. Like,
I mean, yeah, but, like, not really. You know,
basically, she don't care.
Well, I want to know now. What are ours? Like, what do you think?
We're not going to do this on video, Lala.
No, it could be something small. No, like, obviously not personal. It could be something small. So people can understand, like, you don't have to be a professional to notice, like, signs or triggers in your friends. Like, you need to be aware of people around you. You can't just be focused on yourself. So.
Yeah, like, it would be, like, certain things that you will say, or, like, you know, friends get into little tiffs and stuff, and then, you know, I like to hear both sides and be like, well, you know, not outward, like, outright saying it, but, like, you know, well, maybe.
I do feel like you do that. She does kind of do that, where she's like, well, you know, she from da 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 da. You know, she don't got.
Not so clinical, but, like, you know,
trying to have a more open perspective.
Yeah.
Trying to get us to have a more open perspective.
Yeah.
When it comes to tests.
But after this call ends, I want to hear the detail.
I do too. Imani's like, oh, that's not nice, Anne. Like, Anne, you need to be a little bit nicer. I'm like, but Imani, you don't get it. Like, no. Well, Anne, that's not nice. I'm like, okay, girl.
Yeah, you know, I got a little sensitive heart. I be trying to spread love, but
it's the Scorpio in you. We understand. You're sensitive like Drake and the rest of them.
Yeah, I think we're all a little sensitive. Mm-hmm. Very sensitive, actually.
So
very sensitive.
But I think, I was gonna say that I feel like the most common thing I feel like I've seen, at least in my experience, when I notice, like, a friend is, like, I don't know, like, maybe they're going through something, because I don't want to be, like, a doctor. I don't want to be like, oh, she's going through depression. Like,
Grey's Anatomy, I don't know. The school of Grey's Anatomy.
So, I feel like you notice when people are like kind of like step away from the group, mm-hmm. or like you just, it just seems like a behavior doesn't seem normal. I think that's when you can most easily pick up on, like, you know, your friends are, at least you should.
I'm gonna be extra observant.
Mm-hmm. So if those are your actual friends, I would hope that you would notice, like, so-and-so is not
actually. Now, when Imani don't be texting back, I'm like, what's going on?
We literally send a search party for you. A whole search party.
Right, because we're like, this is not okay. Like, Imani don't, she be there. Like, you know, you're present, whatever. Sometimes you're not there. But, like, when you really, really not there, that's when it's like, okay, Imani's been MIA a little too long. Like, it's a little weird now.
We got to find this shorty.
I be checking the locations. Like, where's this bitch at? What's going on?
So, you know, we're getting into our final cool down. I think it's important to leave people with things to walk away with, not just during this, because it's like a pandemic, but also just in general, some like good mental health best practices. Or maybe we'll let Imani, since she's the kind of the expert, talk more about resources or helpful tips, and then we'll get into, we'll just do a round table of like how we address our, you know, triggers and mental health, you know, situations that we have personally. So let's start with Imani, and then we'll move on to Mariah, Anne, and I'll finish off.
I think that if anything, take away that there's always resources out there. You just have to do some work and find them. If you have no idea where to start, your insurance card has a number on the back, and you can just ask them for what mental health services they cover in, you know, who they're contracted with. You can call your local crisis team. They should have resources. Mm-hmm. And Psychology Today, which is a website, they have a lot of good resources, articles, things like that. You can also find therapists mm-hmm. in your area by your insurance, by your zip code.
Do you have any tips specifically like for Black people, for men and women of color, that you think would be like really targeted, since I know it's hard to find a therapist that maybe matches you?
Not necessarily, but I would just say don't get discouraged. Like, not like the first time's not always going to be the best time. Like, and just don't get discouraged, just keep going. Like, mental health treatment is trial and error. Mm-hmm. If you have to take medication, that's trial and error too. It's not all gonna like fix it. And also, it's not gonna fix it. You have to do a lot of work too. Like, you can't just say, I'm going to therapy, the therapist is gonna do like make me better. Like, you still have to put in all of the work. Like, mm-hmm. same with the medication. The medication is gonna get you to a certain point, but like, you have to bring yourself over that. So those two things.
We love to hear it.
Also, I see that there's an app, like, there's a whole bunch of apps out there that, like, track your mood, like, MoodPath is a really good one. It tracks your mood, it tells you, like, what a possible diagnosis may be. They could connect you with, like, a therapist over the phone.
We love the accessibility.
A little assessment of, like, what's going on with you. There's, like, meditation apps, I think. I'm more of like a holistic type of person. So like, I like to do like natural remedies too. Like, therapy is good, but there you can always do other things naturally. So like, I like meditating, using a salt lamp, diffusing oils, walking trails, things like that. Like, just things to make you more grounded, bring you closer to earth. Planting.
Yes. Just read something. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mariah. What are your little takeaways for the cool down?
I think from this whole conversation, I think the biggest thing I took away and I want people to also listen to is you have to be more self-aware. I think that's where it starts at, with being aware of yourself. So noticing maybe within yourself, like, okay, like, I don't like how I've been feeling, or I could feel better or make myself be in a better light. I know for me personally, sometimes when I feel like drained, like I have to like step back a little bit. So I think sometimes we all need a little bit of like to yourself time, like me time, a little sprinkle of isolation. Like I feel like it brings me centered.
Yes.
The only thing I would say is don't get too comfortable with being isolated, because then that could turn into something else. And I think people have also felt that with the pandemic going on too. But I think in general, like you don't want to be so much to yourself that you just start losing ties or everything like that. But I think it is important to have yourself, like time for yourself, just talk to yourself, just relax.
Mm-hmm.
And Imani touched on a couple of things too. She said like apps and stuff. So I added that to what I wanted to bring up is an app called InnoPsych. We learned about it. Me and Anne went to an event in Boston. It was like a black networking event. I can't even talk. This lady, she was a black psychologist from the Boston area. She created an app, which essentially is like what Imani talked about, where you can find black psychologists in Boston and the greater Boston area. We'll add it to the description for the episode. We got a lot of resources. So now we're going to shoot it to Anne.
Hey, y'all. Okay, so what would I take away from this? Personally, in my journey of self-awareness, I still have a lot of work to do. I'm trying to work on the communication part, but my personality, like, once I start to get very angry, I shut down very quickly, and I personally don't like confrontation, so I'll avoid it as much as possible. And if that means like I have to block you or just like stop talking to you, then that's just what it's going to be. And you're just going to sit there and be confused. But whatever. If you don't know, like most times it's like, okay, from that last situation, you should already know like it's just not going to work out for me. Anyway, moving on. So, because I could just go in. But anyway, moving on, I'm trying to work on that part in myself. I've looked on psychology today. Imani put me on last year, and like I'm still trying to look for a therapist, but I mean like I get lazy and then I forget about it, and then I have breakdowns, and then I feel like I'm motivated to go, and then I like kind of get discouraged. So I just want to say to people, do not be scared, do not be discouraged. Don't feel like you're alone in this, because there's people always around there for you, whether you know it or not. People do care about you, and try to get as much help as you need. And, you know, it's just baby steps. You don't have to, like, jump into it. And I think, yeah, that's all.
I think wrap it up, I think my big thing is just around, obviously, self-reflection and actually saying out loud the things that you're working on. That's, to me, that's what makes it real, when I can openly admit it. So I think taking that time when things are repeats to say like, oh, this is now a problem. So like, how am I going to move past it? Is kind of like my takeaway, and continuing to use the resources that are available. I echo everyone else in terms of like not getting discouraged and all of that. I'd say something that helps me aside from the other like online resources, but I'm a big journaler. I didn't know I was journaling, but in middle school, like, I used to have a diary. I still have that diary. I actually keep it in the trunk of my car just to look at my growth. But I've been journaling for,
Guess whose car we're breaking in?
You know what's crazy? I think a while ago, I don't know if it was Luz or Farida or one of them, like, had seen it in my room and tried to read it. But anyway, so, yeah, I still have that journal, and I journal currently today, different things that bother me, and I genuinely feel better. Like, I really think it works. So
all of our names are all over that notebook.
No, you're not. Most of them are about relationships, because that's my biggest area of growth, and not friendships. I don't really struggle that much. I struggle more with like family and romantic ones, but y'all, that's another day.
Another day, yes.
But we are closing out of another successful episode. Remember that we'll include all the tips as, you know, a normal notification that we keep giving every damn episode. Wash your damn hands and wear your mask.
Literally.
And follow us on social media for more fun lives and different content, and hopefully in the nearest time soon, prizes.
Prizes is finna be slow.
Don't forget prizes. Yes, don't next episode. Resources that Imani talked about. Well, we all talked about some resources.
Oh, true.
If you need to connect with those, and if you even want to talk to us, our DMs are open. Okay.
Side note, Imani also helped my brother out. I just want to throw that out there. Imani, I truly do appreciate you. Thank you for the Psychology Today website. Yes, round of applause
for having
because
Imani.
He has a therapist now. He's in therapy. He's working on himself.
So. See, this is why we need more people of color in this field, because we already have that connection. We feel comfortable talking to people that look like us, and then we can get more help, you know? Yes. Look at this.
We love to see it. All right. We will see everyone.
As a time capsule, so in 2 years, I should have enough hours to be an independent therapist. I can have my own practice.
We
so
love
in 2 years, we're going to revisit this. And then we can do what it do. You can
prophesy.
Tell me
your... We're going to remember this episode specifically. We will play it in 2 years and hold you to it. All right?
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Go figure. You were the trigger. You brought me to an obstructive view. When you know the picture was bigger, who am I kidding? Knew from the beginning. You'd ruin everything, you do it every time. You are my enemy, you are no friend of mine, motherfucker. You motherfucking right, you motherfucking right, I'm bitter. You motherfucking right, I'm triggered. You motherfucking right, I wanna fuck you right now. I just turned the lights out now. And you know when the sun go down, that's when it would all go down. Been a minute, been a while. Ain't nobody hit it since you with it. You know you always know what to do with it. But ain't no me and you without you in it. Damn, I'm about to burn this bitch down. Think I need to lie down. Cause I'm not trying to wild out.